Hey everyone, so recently I had an episode where I talk about how my wife and I bought and then renovated a home, and we created a budget template to track costs and hopefully limit our spending and stick to the plan as much as possible. So with that, I put out a budget template that you can go and get, and that was our most downloaded freebie from the Career Yak show thus far. So I'll put a link again in the show notes. Go check that out if you have any type of projects, or you're renovating a house, or you're doing even a smaller project and you have to see what it's going to cost and track costs throughout so that hopefully you don't overspend. Go check that out. Super helpful. Just wanted to remind everyone of that. And thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
It's okay to go to college and not know what your plan is. And the reality of that is that college is a huge growth area, and that's why I love coaching in it. And I would say not until about my junior year of college, I knew I wanted to be involved with some type of college athletics. Didn't know really what capacity.
Hello and welcome to the Career Yak Podcast, a show where we seek to discover what jobs and industries are out there today and learn valuable career lessons along the way. I'm your host, Chris Goodwillie, and since college, I've worked in outside B2B sales. I've gotten the opportunity to meet many different business professionals and entrepreneurs from many different industries, and through that time, I've loved learning their stories, and part of the reason I started this podcast was to share those type of stories with you, the listener. On today's show, I have Brady Greger on. He is the head coach at High Point University for the Division I men's golf team, and Brady is the first golf coach that I've ever met, so it was a fun conversation. I learned a lot about collegiate golf and don't know too much about it, and he goes through lessons on leadership, on mentoring his players, how he goes about recruiting them as well, and his career journey to get to the point he's at today as a head coach of a D1 team at a fairly young age. So how he got promotions and how he kind of created connections that kind of helped him along that journey. So listen in, really good conversation. He also has a podcast. It's a podcast about golf called Any Given Tuesday. I will put a link to that in the show notes. And here's my conversation with Brady. Brady, you are currently the head golf coach at High Point University, and I definitely want to talk in more detail about that. I think you are the first golf coach I've ever met, so that's pretty cool. So there's not a lot of golf coaches in my life, but first of all, I want to have you introduce yourself and kind of bring us back to the beginning of your career, and even before that, whatever context you can provide on kind of your journey to where you're at now.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thanks for having me on. And I'm glad I get to kind of kickstart things and be the first golf coach. So hopefully, hopefully I can provide some good insight, represent us well. But yeah, one thing I think about just careers and kind of how life, the different places it takes us, is that we never end up where we think we're going exactly. And so for my start getting into the coaching profession, I would say started at just a really young age, playing lots of sports. And I moved around a lot as a child, nothing military based or anything like that, but it's kind of funny. That's the first question I get asked, because I did go to 12 different schools growing up, but no, my family just moved around. Yeah, my family just moved around a lot. But going back to your question, came out of college just knowing, I would say that listeners need to hear that it's okay to go to college and not know what your plan is. And the reality of that is that college is a huge growth area, and that's why I love coaching in it. And I would say not until about my junior year of college, I knew I wanted to be involved with some type of college athletics. Didn't know really what capacity. So I played football and golf in college, went the junior college route, played at Pima Community College in Tucson, Arizona, and then finished off my degree at Southwest Baptist University just outside of Springfield, Missouri. And there I figured I graduated and I either wanted to be in some type of coaching, which either football and golf, or I actually really wanted to be an athletic director because I valued family time. And I knew with as an AD, you might be busy around campus, but you definitely are at home a lot more than per se a football coach. And so that's kind of originally, I'd say, ground roots in college that got me interested in college athletics and kind of set me down that career path, which then bounced around. But that's the base root of kind of, I knew I wanted to be involved in college athletics, but I did not think it would be as a college golf coach.
So you got your business degree, right?
Yes, I did. Business degree. And I guess tying this back to like recruiting, what I have to answer or a question to the athletes a lot of times is, you got guys coming in as freshmen not knowing exactly what they want to do. And as an athlete, it's actually safer to stay undecided before you you can stay undecided up to your fifth semester, which is the first semester of your junior year of college, and then decide, because the NCAA monitors degree progress. And so if you go, say you want to be a finance major out of the gates, then all of a sudden, as you grow and learn what more about yourself, what you're interested in, if you want to switch to, say, communications, well, your degree progress might not be up to the standard of the NCAAs, and that could render you ineligible. So just like a little bit of that. And then myself, I changed majors a couple times in college. So that is the one thing that people need to be just open to, is these skills I'm getting in college are more towards the path that my life might take after college.
Right, right. No, and that's a good point. And I've learned, you know, life's not linear. And, you know, I worked for the same company for like 5 years after college, which is great. But actually getting out of it, we moved across the country and I got a new job and everything, switched jobs again after that. And it almost is a sense of freedom almost to know that, wow, life and careers are not a straight line. But that's okay, because you kind of got to be willing to be flexible. And maybe your upbringing, moving so much, you know, maybe that played a part in creating an attitude of flexibility. I don't know. You know, do you think that kind of impacted it at all?
I 100% do. And I think about this for the career and the lives that I want my children to have. I mean, moving around was great, because I literally was the new kid at school 12 different times, right? And so, and luckily sports is a great common ground to kind of break that ice, because you do have something and you get put on a team, and
right,
that's a huge help. But at the end of the day, it's kind of flight or flight right when you get there. And I think it just adds to a personality, and hopefully that I don't ramble on too much on this podcast, but like it's hard now for me to meet a stranger, because there's something I should be able to relate to and speak to that person.
Yeah. And just even communication skills like that, whether you're a coach or I'm in sales, you know, relating to people. I mean, it's so beneficial throughout so many circumstances in life. I like how you kind of apply that skill set to, you know, different areas, because I think sometimes we do get so tunnel vision with careers, and that we lose track of like transferable skills. So take us through what is the day in the life of a golf coach, collegiate golf coach?
Well, I think that's the beauty of it. It's something new every day, and it changes depending on what level you coach at. And I'm blessed. I was a Division I head coach starting at 27 years old. And so a lot of that was kind of trial and error for me. But if the listeners don't know, there's actually junior college, which is predominantly 2 years of school. There's NAIA, which is separate of NCAA. And there's Division III, Division II. There's two divisions, actually, Division I, which, like, I'm at a Division I, which is considered a mid-major, which is a school outside the group or Power Five schools, which is like your Big 12, ACC, Big 10, and Pac-12. So still Division I, but there's just – it's like, for example, my school is not a football school. Like, we have a huge lacrosse program, and that's kind of a bunch of our funding goes into lacrosse instead of football, but we're still Division I in all sports. So just a little feedback on how that works. But the day in life of a coach, I would say you have a little more structure when the guy's at school. So we just hit our second week back, and you get 20 hours with the NCAA. We split that up between X amount of hours in the gym, X amount of hours on the course. For me, it's really understanding what I love about it is I still have a life that's similar to a student athlete and what I did all college, because I've got to get all my work in between 8 and 12 by the time we have lunch, and then we're out at the golf course in the afternoon. So it's still a very similar schedule to what you have with a college athlete. But I would say what a player is going to need, or the situation they run into on campus, or this happened and this happened, you just have to be very flexible, because you don't know what that day is going to bring. And it's kind of exciting because I have that.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a lot of job variety, which is neat. And, you know, it sounds like it doesn't get too mundane. So that's cool. So what would you say as a coach, you know, you've been coach for, you know, multiple years now, what would you say is the single most important quality that a coach should have?
Man. And that's just something I'm still trying to 100% say, this is the one quality, because I mean, I think there's several that you can have.
Yeah.
One you mentioned earlier is huge. I guess I would break it down into a couple areas.
Yeah, definitely.
The one thing as a coach that you 100% need to make sure your players graduate with is being a great communicator. And I know you hit on that earlier, but it was so key. And I was already wanting to talk about that at some time in the pod. But that is so big, whether they're raising a family to, like you said, if they're working in sales, if they're going out to eat, I mean, communication is so big, and there's so many skills that go with that besides just speaking, that's what I want to make sure. I want all my guys to graduate as great communicators, because I feel like if you're a great communicator in the world we live in now, whether that, even if that's via social media, you put yourself at such a big advantage than the people that seem a little bit more introverted or just don't possess that skill set. And so that's a big one for me. But as from a player to a coach, or what a coach has to have, I would say 100% relationships, because I'm spending 35 plus hours with this players a week. And if I can't communicate effectively to them, but if I don't have a great relationship that goes further than just off the golf course, then that person's not going to trust me in what I'm telling them about their swing. They're not going to trust me about future career advice. They're not going to trust me about family issues that they might have after college. So that is, for me, if you don't have a great relationship with your players, I think it makes it very tough, even in like recruiting, or even if once they're on campus with you, I think it's tough to be considered one of the great coaches if you can't do that.
No, it seems like you definitely have a focus on the whole person and the whole life of your student athletes. How do you balance that time and relationship, in, you know, investing in them personally and them outside of golf, and obviously the whole sport aspect of it as well?
Yeah, I think, and I guess this would be another quality that you have to have, but I think like leading by example is the biggest, or one of the biggest leadership
roles that's been monumental in my development as a coach and kind of what I want to portray to my team. Just because, I mean, one thing we say here and we tell our recruits, they're never going to have to do something here that I have not done as a player or am willing to continue to do with them. For example, we have, every time we have workouts, I work out with the guys. And that's just because, one, hey, if I'm going to ask you to be up at 6 a.m. in the morning in the weight room, then coach better be right there getting after it with you. And hopefully I have a lot of young years ahead of me and I can still continue to do that. But I think leading by example is huge. I mean, and although I think it gets thrown around very cliche like, and some of the great coaches like Dabo and stuff like that are talking about how this is a family atmosphere, but it really is. And the thing you can do as a coach is just throw your team into that. I mean, the guys come over all the time. Like, I have an open house policy. If they want to come over, they can do that. And like my wife and I actually just had a newborn. So, I mean, I want them to see that. I want them to see how I treat my family, and because everyone grows up in a little different relationship. And I'm not at all saying that my family is perfect at all, but I want them to see the struggles I go through. And I guess that would lead into like transparency. You got to have that too. So I think it's just built around the whole of relationships, but that, I mean, leading by example and just kind of opening that door and let them be involved is huge, because this is the first time in their lives that they're without mom and dad, right? Like they're going into a new environment. They're out from what mom and dad has told them is correct their whole life. And not saying mom and dad is telling them wrong, but I'm just saying they're in a new environment and they're being introduced to new things. The reason I'm passionate about coaching is 18 to 22 year olds. I know I had the most growth in my life during that time. I think I'm entering into a near season of fatherhood that I think will rival that. But that's why I love coaching 18 to 22 year olds, because the growth that they can get in that amount of time.
No, good on you. That's a good lesson for sure. And yeah, I mean, you're so impressionable at that age, you know, high school and college. It's like, There's so much, it feels like there's so much pressure at the time. You know, you got to figure out what you want to do the rest of your life, and not to mention, you know, prospects of marriage and family and things like that. So good for you, and congrats on the newborn.
Yeah, thank you. It's we're very excited. He was born May 2nd, and
wow,
that's added a whole other element to kind of the team's excited about, and I'm learning how to operate on a little less sleep. But
so first kid, I assume.
Yes, first one. It's a boy, and
oh,
so
man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Pumped about it, and so, but it's, I mean, good, the bad, and the ugly, they get to see it all, so
yeah, they know when you're slacking in the gym the next day, they know why.
Yeah, but I also let them hear about it when I'm out working them too, so
there you go, no excuse.
Yeah.
So how do you I know you mentioned, you know, you have had seasons of growth and development. How do you continue to stay sharp and develop as a professional and as a leader?
Whew. I think this is something that never stops. I mean, I was thinking about this today is, I mean, you've got to be a learner and continue to learn. I know you and I were talking about podcasts and just learning how to do things like that, that you wonder, how, at the time, maybe how is this going to help me along my journey? But I think you can't clearly see that, but down the road, I think at a time we will see it. So it's tough. And I would say it's very tough in a role I'm in, as in I have a volunteer assistant, but it's pretty much me and the team. And so it's holding myself accountable. I'd say one thing that helps me with that is having the right mentor in your life. I mean, and some of that is the relationship that you have with your spouse. And I mean, that person's got to be able to call you out on what you're doing and what you're not doing right, and areas you can improve in. just as much as I feel like a mentor would. And it's hard. There's so many things you can do, whether that's reading growth books or it's improving your core values. I think one thing that's helped me is having a 5-year plan and adjusting that five-year plan each year as a year falls off. So that's one thing I do with myself is I have a 5-year plan and I also have a yearly plan. Now this is something my AD has done, wants us to do as well, but it's huge because at the end of every year, and I'll be honest, like just like college kids hate doing homework. It's one thing that like, it's hard to look forward to doing it just because it's another task in an already time consumed environment. But if you really take the time to sit down and do it, you can literally go through and say, okay, I 100% didn't do that this year, but this, myself and my program needs this. And you can kind of focus on that for the year going forward. And so I guess it's just keeping track of like your goals and your core values. And I feel like if you do those things, as a leader, you're gonna find it easier to not lose sight of what you're trying to do.
So give us an example or walk us through some generalities of like what you would put in your 5-year plan.
Yeah. So I'll take you back to like the very beginning when I got to High Point, first head coaching job. This is actually something I actually put together before I even showed up on campus for the interview. And I think that like in a coaching world, that really sets you apart as a candidate because you might get a call and be known about this job maybe 3 days ahead of time before getting flown in. And to be able to present a 5-year plan to an AD, I think really shows well and says, hey, like, I've got a plan for what you need once you hire me. And so some things that like ours, when I took over was we were 200, the school I took out was 270th in the country out of 300 Division I golf schools. And so, how are you going to get to the ranking that, is expected of you? And also what steps is it going to take? So some of those steps were, these were more in the first year, like, I guess, plans of like, recruiting. Okay. How are we going to attack recruiting? How are we going to get financially to be able to play the schedule we're going to play? And I started regionally and grew, expanded that. And that was big for us. Cause when I first got in, High Point was like the biggest kept secret in North Carolina in the golf world, because we do have arguably one of the best campuses in the country. If you're ever around, please hit me up and stop by, cause it is that good. But
I saw some pictures online. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I think I'm pretty sure, thinking back on it, I broke it down into recruiting, player development, culture. I mean, that's the one other thing we haven't really talked about on here. Culture was huge. I mean, it's the biggest part. It's one of the biggest parts of my program, and because if you don't have the right culture in a 10-person team, you get one bad apple in the room, and it can very easily take down the 9 other guys in.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And so, and that's not just in golf; that's any sales right. or corporate team out there. And so, and I would say one of my biggest growth struggles was being. Learning to value the culture over sometimes skill set, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
And being okay. I think I'm to a mature enough state now and being okay to actually make those decisions that needed to be made. That's hard for a young coach to come in and do.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I always wonder, I mean, I've worked with people that you're like, how did you get promoted? I don't enjoy working in this environment. However, you know, their skill set, technically, they're brilliant. It's just, like you said, a cultural, not necessarily misfit with the company if there's a bad culture there, but a lack of, you know, emotional intelligence or leadership.
Yeah. Well, and one thing we talk about, like, with our, a lot with the team is, there's so many people in this world. And one thing I got asked is like, how did you become a head coach at 27 years old? And a lot of that is like right timing, right? You got to hit the right timing in areas in your life for that to happen. But like we talk about to our guys all the time is I'm amazed throughout the career paths that I've been through and the people I've met. And I promise you that you've definitely encountered this along your career, but just people that are okay with being, for lack of better words, average, right? You know, like you have X paycheck, you show up and do everything you just need to do that. And I would say there's more people in the world that are okay with that. And if I can get my guys to just do that much more, be great communicators and be what we call as like just better than average, that's how they soar to the top of the company and are CEOs and great salesmen. And instead of just being okay, like being content with what you're doing. And just, so that's what I think career path wise, man, I think that's how you separate yourself, because there's so many people that are just okay in going and getting that paycheck, and which is good, because there's some people that need that, that makes the world go around, right? But that's why if you can just do that much more, you can jump ahead of those people pretty quickly.
So give us some details on like the job search, and like, so were you scouting out openings when you came across this job? Did they contact you? Because it's definitely, it's a young age for a head coaching role in a D1 school. Take us back like to that process, and how did the two parties link up in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had started out at Charleston Southern in 2014. It's actually a funny story. How I got connected into being a golf coach there was I just recently moved out to Charleston. That's where my wife is finishing pharmacy school up. And I just, that same passion of knowing I wanted to be in college athletics, I didn't know really what was going on. But I knew that there were two colleges in Charleston, and one is College of Charleston and one is Charleston Southern University, both D1 schools. And in athletics, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities, if you will. And so I just knew on the days I had off working, I was volunteering at either College of Charleston or Charleston Southern. And that's something I couldn't push either on. I couldn't promote even more, is just like that young people, hey, be open to go take an opportunity and show someone, hey, like I'll show up once a week on my day off to help you just to get my foot in the door in whatever industry it is. And so it just so happened the woman that I was volunteering under happened to be married to the golf coach, right? And boom, there was the link there to get the assistant job. And so coached for him for 2 years underneath him. And it just so happened that we had two great runs. We went to regionals both year and had two of the best teams they've ever had in school history there. And from there, it was funny. I went to a school called Coastal Carolina, and mm-hmm. It's in South Carolina. And I went there to be an assistant for the women's coach there. And so I spent all summer actually recruiting women's golf. And I was there for about 2.5 months before High Point gave me the call. And it just so happened that it was in the conference of Charleston Southern. So they actually, I would say with the two seasons we had, we were arguably the best team in the conference. And the coach was probably the best, first seen as the best coach at the time. And so they, like High Point, reached out to him, and he just was like, basically said, look, I'm not interested, but you need to go after this guy that just went to Coastal that was my assistant, because he's the best hire that you can have. And you get brought, I think there were 65 candidates, you get brought in. I think they brought 10 on campus. There was actually a Power 5 assistant, I think was the school's first offer before I was even brought in, and he turned it down. And then I happened I think I was like the eighth or ninth interview, which when you go on an athletics interview, it's a full 2-day event. You fly in, you drive or fly in the night before, go to dinner with the AD, stay in the hotel, and then it's just interviewing with everyone all through the day till about 5 o'clock the next day. And, like I said, one of those things that the timing needs to be right. Well, school had already been started for a week. And so, like, I knew if it was going to happen, it was going to happen fast.
Right.
Was lucky enough to get the job. And I would say after seeing the campus, I was just blown away. And I knew there were other reasons they were ranked what they were, that could easily be overcame. And the good thing about taking over a program that's at the bottom is they only have one direction to go. So
right.
Pretty smart move doing that.
Yeah, well, and it's exciting because you do have some room for creativity and doing new things. So,
absolutely.
Well, no, that's cool, and I think it's there's always a balance between contentment and the grass is always greener, and are you advancing? And that's things I've thought about in my own life, and it's like you don't want to be discontent, you want to be grateful, but you don't want to just not reach your potential because of a lack of initiative.
Absolutely. And I think that's where I guess you have to divide it between, in my opinion, career growth and personal growth, right? Because you can be growing personally where you're at for a long time and being maybe in a position that you love and that you're completely content family wise and what you want to be at. But as long as you continue to go personally, you're still going to have success at that place. And so, and I'd say that's where I'm probably at right now is I'm coming into my fifth year, and just in the coaching world, I mean, love where I'm at, but in the coaching world, 5 years is kind of the mark of like, hey, I've had a 4-year calendar of my recruits in here now. And so if you're going to move, it's kind of in that time period. And so then the personal stuff comes in. Well, you got family and this and this and that. So I think it's just hard. And but you also got to understand is just what areas are you growing in, and got to keep growing, because if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, with the, with the a new baby and everything, it's like makes it adds another layer to logistics of moving and things like that. So no, yeah. It's definitely interesting how they're all intertwined, and maybe there's different seasons of life, and just depends the opportunities that are out there, the family dynamics, things like that. So what's you kind of teased it a little bit. What's next for you in your career, or is it more of a kind of sit where you are, continue to be successful, and stay put? Or what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, that's it's not a hard question to answer, because I get asked this by literally every recruit that comes in. And like I said, I'm still considered young for coaching. I'm 31. But, that's mom and dad and the recruit. They want to know, hey, this is a young coach that's helping turn around a program. How long is that coach going to be there? Right. And, I guess my answer to them is, one, anyone I recruit here is I'm trying to win a national championship too. So if I think you're good enough to come play for us here, then I will honor that or allow you if going to wherever I go is an option per NCAA and stuff like that, then I'm recruiting the player, not just this is a high point player.
Right.
So,
right.
So, yeah. So if I go and you want to go, I mean, you got to find ways around the NCAA to make that happen, but I'm all for it. But so I'm not saying, hey, I want to be here for the rest of my life. I would say, there is opportunities, I believe, for that. And I think we're very close for this being a job that makes it very hard to leave. And I would say for me, I want to be at a place, whether that's High Point, somewhere else down the road, mid-major D1, Power 5 D1, where we're a nationally recognized program, and we're competing for the national championship each year. Now, realistically, what do you have to do that? You have to be inside the top 50 every year, and realistically, maybe the top 25. So when, I mean, that's when I was kind of teetering, like, hey, what's my next career move? Is it just stay here? And a great coaching saying that I never forget is win where you're at, right? Because if you're winning where you're at, other opportunities are going to present themselves.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And so that's like, stay focused on that. Don't be focusing on the next thing. But another buddy told me too, he's like, do you want to coach for Big South championships for the rest of your life, or do you want to coach for national championships? And so that's just like, where can you make that happen? And so for me personally, I want to coach at the highest level, whether that's D1, mid-major, or Power 5 D1. I just want to be able to have the tools and the resources and everything to do that. But I'm not opposed to whether that's High Point for the next 20 years or other opportunities. Like I said, I've moved around my whole life. That's not the issue here at all. So
right.
I would like to though, when my kids gets to high school, I'd like them to be there for 4 years. Because I think that's another big area in your life. And I was able to be at a high school for 3 years, which is big, but I also had a younger brother that was at a high school for only two, and then two. And I think that's a hard move. I think that's a really hard adjustment for high schoolers to make. So like that's, I'd love for my kids to have a solid 4 years. But I say all of that to say, I just want to be able to coach compete at the highest level. And if that's High Point, love that opportunity. If that has to be somewhere else, then it could be somewhere else. But just to get to the highest level and be able to consistently compete for a national championship is my ultimate goal. And so those are a little bit into the decisions that I think about when those opportunities present themselves.
Right, right. There could be different scenarios where that result is met. So interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Definitely keep, you definitely seem to keep pushing yourself. So, I mean, we've talked about a lot. What, if you were to talk directly to a listener today, what one piece of career advice would you give to someone?
I would say, don't be afraid to have the confidence to go after exactly what it is that you want, whether that's in golf and sales and any type of business. I mean, because that's the biggest thing. And a lot of people get caught up on like, well, and I think I do it as a coach, is like, how am I going to like, job wise, if I go after XYZ job, how would I win that press release battle against another coach XYZ? So, but I would say you never know what exactly that person's looking for. You never know what's in the cards. So that's what I would say is just figure out what you love to do and pursue that until you get there. And that might not always look exactly how we think it's going to look. But hopefully when we look back, we found a way, whether that's throughout a really roundabout path or a straight linear path, that we do get there. And that's what I can say. Cause I think too many people, I guess, whether you call it content or stay, they don't go after exactly.
They what say, yeah, they settle. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I would say. And if there's something like, we didn't really get into it a lot, but man, there's so much to say about doing what you love and like coaching. I love coaching. I could coach racquetball. I mean, just coaching something. I was born to be a coach and I love to do it. And so that's, there's so much to wake up and be able to say, I'm doing what I love. And I wish a lot more people in the world could get to that place.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I remember you said earlier, like, you know, just even taking the time to, like, create a 5-year plan or whatever. Like, it takes time. It takes effort. It's almost like people don't want to, I mean, myself included, to sit down and take hours out of your life to discover and say, you know, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? What major does appeal to me most? That's critical thinking and effort required, you know, and it's almost like we don't want to do that. But in the long run, it pays off, and it does give us like a map to, like you said, pursue something specific.
Absolutely. And think, but people like I'll even be, I'll admit to this, is it's not easy putting those things on paper.
Right.
And like, even with my guys, we have a beginning of the year meeting, and we have long-term and short-term goals in different areas that they have to voice. And what is a goal, right? Like, it's something that's got to be measurable, and it's got to have a date that you're going to do it by. And mm-hmm. that's one thing I think on that roadmap or five-year plan you have to have, because you got to be able to be brutally honest with yourself. And that's what I love about golf, is like, it's a sport that you have to be able to say, look, I'm not getting it done in this area, or this area is not where it needs to be. Because if you can't be brutally honest with yourself, you're never going to get there. And that's what those five-year plans allow you to do. And it's not fun always. And sometimes it's not fun going back the next year and seeing what you didn't get done.
Yeah, you're like, what did I do?
But yes, you're right. I mean, take that 3 to 4 hours, maybe it's a day a year that you do it. And if you do that, you can do that in a lot of areas of your life. And
yeah, there's a book, Essentialism, and it's one of the comments they said was like, most people can do more than they think in 5 years and less than they think they can do in a day. It's like we create these long to-do lists every day. You know, you check off 3 out of 10. But then yeah. In 5 years, you're like, oh, you should start a business. And they're like, oh, no, I can't do that. You know what I mean? It's like, well, maybe you could if you put some time into it. So,
yeah. Talk about a lot about keeping your plate empty to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And it's like so many of these graduates, be it athletes or not, who have had full plates, that they've managed those plates throughout college for 4 years and playing a sport and vice versa, get into the real world and they put that much more on top of themselves. And it's like, there's still a balance that you got to find to reach those goals. Cause like it's give and take, right? When you're given to one area, it's taken away from an area. So.
Yeah, there's definitely opportunity costs everything. So, well, before we go, tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can find it.
Yeah, definitely. So it's called Any Given Tuesday. You can find that on Apple, Spotify. We actually record through the Anchor app. So get it there as well. And the reason it's called Any Given Tuesday, which I think people get thrown off a little bit, is, but every final round of golf tournaments is on usually a Tuesday, because we play a practice round on Sunday and then usually 36 holes on Monday. That's because country clubs are closed on Monday and they'll usually get the colleges. And then Tuesday is usually the final round. And so it is a product of the pandemic. We were actually going to try to launch it last spring. And then when we got shut down, it obviously gave us even more free time to do it. So, but we're on social media, Any Given Tuesday, and we're on Instagram, Twitter, and then we also obviously have all the links up to where you can find that. But it's a lot of golf coaches talking golf talk, and it pretty much came about because you talk to one or two of your coaching buddies pretty much every day, and that, whether that's going from work or home from the course, and it's usually about what we're going through in college golf, whether that's the pandemic, whether that's how we're keeping our kids in school and the school not shutting down. It's just conversations that we would have that it's like, man, these are conversations that other coaches are having all over the world. So like, we can put this together and people can have a laugh about it. So.
Big thanks to Brady for being on the show, and I thought it was really impactful how he is so intentional in his goal setting, and he's very diligent and consistent, it seems, in taking time to set out short, medium, and long-term goals. And then also just how he really creates a family atmosphere with his players and sees the relationship with them as a mentorship and more than just a, you know, more than just a game and a sports world. It's really a chance for him to be a leader and be a good influence on them in their lives. So credit to Brady for that. And I think we can all learn from that. Again, check out Brady's podcast called Any Given Tuesday. I will put a link to it in the show notes. And if you have a moment, it would be much appreciated if you rate and review the Career Yak podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to. It helps people find the show. Also, don't forget to check us out at careeryak.com. You can join our email list to stay up to date on the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Hey everyone, one way you can support the show is by checking out our new affiliate partner, Lone Birch Company, based out of New Hampshire, where I am as well. Their owner and founder, Jarek, actually did an interview with me. His episode may or may not be out, depending on when you're listening to this, but go check them out and use the coupon code CAREER for 10% off. They make wood, handmade wood products for your desk or office setting. So check them out. Super high quality stuff, and it'll help Jarek's business and the show. Thanks.